Welcome to the Virgin Diabetic Podcast. My name is Denise Panzers, and I'm a diabetes and holistic lifestyle coach. Type 2 diabetes is a chronic disease, and it plagues over 34 million in the U.S. and hundreds of millions worldwide. I was one of those unlucky people to be diagnosed with type 2 diabetes and prescribed medication with 4 daily insulin shots. It left me devastated. But then I realized, contrary to what everyone told me, I could reverse my diabetes. And my happy day was when I eliminated all medication and all insulin. Join me on this journey to learn and gain insight on reversing the effects of your diabetes. Being diagnosed with diabetes is never good news, and you might be wondering what options you have to help you toward better health. If you don't successfully change your diet, doctors usually prescribe drugs, sometimes several, which treat the symptoms of high blood glucose, but not the cause. The cause of insulin resistance and type 2 diabetes is glucose toxicity due to our diet, consuming too many carbs, which are converted to glucose in our blood. Nutritional supplements like lysolin can slow the progression of diabetes and possibly reverse it. Lysolin is the only product that targets the cause of insulin resistance and diabetes itself. Lysolin's safe, healthy, and natural formula acts like a glucose sponge so that glucose does not end up becoming toxic. Lysolin has proven to work in clinical studies for people with prediabetes and type 2 diabetes. Visit lysolin.com, lysulin.com, and start today to help yourself to better health. Today's episode is, if I'm a type 2 diabetic, can I become a type 1? Well, that's a question that I have been asked over and over by folks of many different ages. So it's important that we make clear the types of diabetes and how you get there. So first, I want to make sure everyone is clear on how your system works using glucose and insulin. When we start with low glucose, like when your body is getting ready to wake up in the wee hours of the morning, there is a signal from your pancreas to your liver to release sugar into your bloodstream so your blood glucose levels are in range. And that allows us to have that energy to jump out of bed in the morning and be all perky. So are you perky every morning? After eating a meal, your blood glucose increases. And I think that we all know. Your pancreas will produce that insulin, which is a signal to your cells to take in the glucose from your bloodstream, which in turn brings your blood glucose down to a normal range. That's the process for all non-diabetics. Now let's step through the different types of diabetes to see what changes. Type 1 diabetes typically occurs in children and young adults. In most people with type 1 diabetes, the body's immune system, which is what normally fights infection, actually attacks and it destroys the cells in your pancreas that make insulin. It's those beta cells. As a result of this attack on your beta cells, your pancreas stops making insulin. And without insulin, glucose cannot get into your cells and your blood glucose rises above normal and it just stays there. So people with type 1 diabetes need to take insulin every day to stay alive. However, type 1 patients are not typically prescribed diabetes medication like type 2 patients are. Now, you may be familiar with a person that has type 1 diabetes. You know, many use an insulin pump to help keep better regulated with their glucose levels. Now, if the cause of type 1 diabetes is not due to an autoimmune issue, it can be caused by a virus attacking the pancreas and destroying those beta cells. But the outcome is basically the same. Insulin is now a life-saving drug. Type 2 diabetes is a metabolic impairment. And our cells become desensitized to our own insulin that's produced from our pancreas. It's been referred to as a sugar problem. And that's because glucose does not move into your cells, which is supposed to be stored for energy, and therefore does not bring your glucose level back to normal. On the surface, it sounds somewhat similar to type 1, but your pancreas is working even if your pancreas and cells are not working efficiently together. Poorly managed diabetes, well, those patients can be prescribed insulin. So in fact, did you know about 50% of type 2 diabetics become insulin dependent? Some start with a single insulin shot per day at bedtime or in the morning. And others of you may also require additional shots with every single meal, a fast-acting insulin. Now, I had that experience of having to take a slow-acting insulin at night and a fast-acting insulin shot with every meal. And I do say I had to do that. And we'll talk further about how I no longer have to do that. But I don't want you to think that now, just because you're on insulin, that you're a type 1 diabetes patient. And why is that? That's because we can work toward improving our pancreas. Keep in mind, though, results are different for everyone, and I'm not giving you medical information here. And I will be honest, you know, when many of my coaching clients tell their doctors they're working to improve insulin production, they are just given a look and told not to believe it. But I am here to tell you, the proof is in the right lab test. Moving on. Have you heard of type 3 diabetes? Now, this form is associated with Alzheimer's disease. So does that sound a bit strange to you? I know at first it did to me. We don't hear about type 3 diabetes very often or at all. It's been known for a number of years, yet no one seems to share much of that information. Well, type 3 diabetes occurs when the neurons in the brain become unable to respond to insulin, and that's essential for basic tasks, including memory and the ability to learn. So some researchers actually believe insulin deficiency is central to the cognitive decline of Alzheimer's disease. Mayo Clinic, their campuses in Florida and Rochester, participated in a multi-institution clinical study. And they're testing whether a new insulin nasal spray can improve Alzheimer's symptoms. Now, the results of that study are still forthcoming, but I definitely think that's something that you should research, find out that information, especially if you know someone with Alzheimer's disease. Well, thanks for letting me digress for just a second, but I thought that was an important piece of information. Well, now this all brings us to type 1.5 diabetes, or also called LADA, latent autoimmune diabetes in adults, LADA. So I don't know, is that a new term for you? I'm aware of it for a number of years. Now, it is a hereditary autoimmune disorder, which actually has the characteristics of both type 1 and type 2 diabetes. Now, initially, you are producing your own insulin, and you're probably already prescribed diabetes medication, or you have been at some point, or will be. But over time, the beta cells in your pancreas start to fail producing insulin. And this decline, it could take several years, like into your 30s, or many years into your senior years before you find out. And when that happens, you are basically insulin dependent. You need those insulin shots. Many people, unfortunately, are misdiagnosed. But testing for islet cell autoantibodies could help a patient be aware years in advance so you could actually be better prepared. So there were some studies that were done in Europe, Asia, and North America, and they reported about 4 to 14% of patients that are diagnosed with type 2 diabetes are actually positive for the type 1 diabetes autoantibodies. Now, why would you want to be tested, or why would you come to that conclusion? Well, I would suggest that if you have type 1 diabetes in your family, that could be a reason. If you have family members that appear to have type 2 diabetes at a much earlier age, maybe that's a good reason to get yourself tested and your family tested. You know, remember, I mentioned many people get misdiagnosed with type 1.5 diabetes, or without getting that right diagnosis, I should say. But a blood test can tell you if you have those autoantibodies, and then you know to be on the lookout. Now, whether type 1 or type 1.5, by the time you're diagnosed, you may have lost weight very rapidly. You may have had little to no energy, constantly thirsty. You might find you had to urinate more often, and you can even have some vision changes, you know, that can happen actually very quickly. Those are definitely signs. You have to get checked out sooner rather than later. So when glucose is high and you have little to no insulin in your system, diabetic ketoacidosis can occur. Now, diabetic ketoacidosis is a serious complication of diabetes that occurs when your body produces these high levels of blood acids, and those are called ketones. Now, this condition can develop when your body cannot produce enough insulin. And without enough insulin, your body begins to break down fat as fuel at too fast of a rate. So the liver processes that fat into a fuel called those ketones, and that causes the blood to become acidic. So don't confuse ketones with a keto diet, okay? Ketones are acidic to the blood. Now, I share this information because well over 175,000 people every year end up in the ER with diabetic ketoacidosis, or DKA. And this can be potentially fatal. Just because a person has the autoantibodies does not mean it is an absolute that a person's pancreas will fail and you will require the insulin. Lifestyle can have a huge impact on helping to preserve the pancreas as long as possible. Getting back to that question at hand, if I'm a type 2 diabetic, can I become a type 1? Well, a number of my clients in their senior years have actually discussed this with me because they've been prescribed insulin after being diagnosed as a type 2 diabetic. Or they might have been told that they are like a type 1 diabetic needing insulin. And so folks tend to get a bit confused because there was no clear explanation. And what happens is that, you know, a lot of these folks kind of fell into two different camps. Either they truly are a type 2 diabetic that need to have insulin, more likely because of the lifestyle changes that were needed were never really made. Or they do have the autoantibodies and the pancreas started to fail, producing less and less insulin over time, then making your diagnosis a type 1.5 diabetic. Well, we, in my estimation, could use more research and definitely need to educate more on this information. In the U.S., we have over 34.2 million adults with diabetes and over 463 million worldwide. About 5% are type 1. To me, I have to tell you, it is really disturbing that another 88 million people in the U.S. are pre-diabetic and 374 million worldwide. I have a whole lot to say about pre-diabetes, but we will have to save that for another episode. Just not enough time here today, because I really believe that we have been misled on what pre-diabetes really is and when it's diagnosed, or I really should say when it's not diagnosed appropriately. Okay, we've gone through the diabetes types. So now I think we have a bit of an understanding on the different types, but our next question is, so what can we do? I'm going to share my perspective on how we need to think about diabetes, and that is preserve your pancreas. That's right, preserve your pancreas. When we're told we have heart disease, we know where our heart is and we know what it does. But with diabetes, we don't talk about the most important organ in this disease, which is your pancreas. And why are we not being told? Is it because it's too easy to write a prescription? Why are we not being taught in medical-run diabetes classes? If it's being taught, I have not seen it, nor has any person with diabetes that I've spoken to all these years have participated in any of this type of training. Well, until now, because we're changing that. Now, when your doctor tells you if you don't diet and exercise, you will be prescribed more medication and insulin, is that a threat? Well, hardly not. But why are they telling us that? So this is where the rubber meets the road. I'm laying it on the line for everyone. We are out-eating what our medication can do for us, and we are out-eating what our pancreas can do for us. So I'm going to say that again. I really want this point to hit home as a patient, as a type 2 diabetes patient. We are out-eating what our medication can do for us, and we are certainly out-eating what our pancreas can do for us. And how do we know? Because once you're hitting on your second and third medication and insulin, it is very clear that's one of the main reasons. So through the years, you're stressing your pancreas. If you do not watch your lifestyle, you are making your pancreas overwork, pushing you further and further into insulin resistance. And when your cells don't respond to insulin, then your pancreas is working so hard for you to produce more. I say be kind to your pancreas. But what do we end up doing? We tend to ignore it. And why do we ignore it? Well, for three basic reasons. One, just what I mentioned. Our diet is typically unhealthy. We're leading unhealthy lifestyles. Two, because we have not been appropriately educated, we can't make the right choice all the time. Three, we've not had the appropriate lab tests completed. I'm a true believer that when you have the right information, it allows you to make the right choice for your health. So if we've not actually been misled, we certainly have not been provided the appropriate information, and we are changing that today. As a type 2 diabetic, you can work in advance to preserve your pancreas by not stressing it out. Do not make it overwork. Now, if you have not read my book yet, The Virgin Diabetic, Reverse the Effects of Type 2 Diabetes, Reduce Medication, and Improve Your Glucose Levels, then I'm sharing a little snippet here. And that is, no one told me that I can actually help my pancreas without insulin. In fact, when I asked that very direct question, every single person told me it was not going to happen that I could stop insulin and that my diabetes would get worse and I would have to increase the dosages of my medicine and insulin as I aged. That's a pretty bleak outlook. No one person wanted to help me as an individual with my personal health goals. I was treated like every other diabetes patient. It didn't matter which doctor or educator I spoke with. And I'm sorry, that's nonsense. We are all different and we should be taken care of differently. You cannot heal your pancreas when you see your doctor 2 to 4 times per year for 15 to 20 minutes. And trust me, I mean no disrespect to our medical professionals. They want to see us healthy. They truly do. And trust me, many of them are just as frustrated as we are. Now, once I latched on to the idea that the pancreas is at the heart of it all, well, no pun intended there, sorry, I was able to prove otherwise. So I can proudly say I was able to preserve my pancreas. And that's what allowed me to eliminate medication and all insulin. But I will say this again, outcomes are different for everyone. And you have to be safe in this process. So you have to work with a medical professional. But at the absolute very least, even if you can't get off of all medication or insulin, you can greatly improve from where you are today. And I recommend that we teach and help each other along the way to preserve our pancreas. That should be our new mantra, preserve our pancreas. Now let's go back and talk about the type 1.5 diabetes or the latent autoimmune diabetes in adults. Does it help to work on preserving your pancreas when you have those autoantibodies? Now, it is my understanding just because you have those autoantibodies, it does not necessarily mean that you will stop producing your own insulin. And I believe you take every step to rest your pancreas and give it the best chance to remain healthy. Now, after my diagnosis, my doctor did refer to me as a type 1.5 diabetic. And that was because I didn't seem to respond to the medication and the slow-acting insulin. So he very quickly prescribed mealtime shots in addition to everything else. Even if you have to take insulin, it does not mean that you have to abuse your health by taking too much to compensate for an unhealthy lifestyle. So let's go ahead and recap. Point number one. You are typically a type 1 diabetic due to an autoimmune disease, not because you are placed on insulin. Point two, thinking about preserving your pancreas should be a priority, just like you have to take care of your heart with heart disease. You need to connect the disease of diabetes to your pancreas. Point number three, for you to stand a chance, you need to get educated, and I mean properly educated. Point number four, the right lab tests can make a world of difference. And I'll let you in on a quick little secret. I always request all of my coaching clients to get a C-peptide blood test because that tells us where your pancreas is functioning. And it's great to get that baseline, especially and even if you are on medication and insulin, if it runs in your family, this is a great test to add to the other diabetes tests. So that's where I would start. That's where I have all of my folks start. And that's how I started when I went on the path to reverse the effects of my diabetes. So we're nearing the end of our time, and I really want you to know it's important to me that you have a say in the information you would like to learn. So I have posted a survey link to hear your interests. You can find that on my website at reversemydiabetes.net on my page named Denise Recommends. Thank you for joining me on this episode. To hear how the natural supplement Lysolin works for me and many of my clients, visit Lysolin.com, Lysulin.com for more information. Please do not consider this as medical information. Always consult with a physician before making any changes. New episodes are released on the first and third Wednesday each month. And for more information or a free consultation, visit reversemydiabetes.net. And as always, I wish you the best of health.